Okay, ladies and gents, welcome to the James Sinclair Audio Experience. This is the podcast where entrepreneurs go to grow their business. There's no silly jingles. We get straight into the content here. And let me tell you, today, we're going to be discussing the business life journey so you can work out how you can get your business through these difficult times that businesses go through and understanding the steps, ladies and gentlemen, that a business goes through. And once you understand the steps, and these are very predictable, by the way, you'll be able to build a much more sustainable long-term business, because businesses have what we call cash burn rates, and at different stages cash burn rates can really go crazy, and if you're not careful then you go out of business. Really, when it comes to cash flow is like a heart attack on a business. If you don't manage your cash flow, then you're gonna die. Having a lack of profit really on a business is more like a cancer that slowly kills you, but you can survive with a lack of profit for a little bit longer than you can for a lack of cash flow. So we're going to really focus on understanding how we can really understand the predictability of a business life journey. And we're going to really be looking at today the experience business. And there's two types of businesses that I sort of identify, well, three really. Number one is the compete on price business. What is a compete on price business? And most businesses compete on price. So Tesco's compete on price, Asda compete on price, Lidl, they compete on price. The ones that compete on experience, your Harrods, they're the ones that have a legacy to them. They last a lot longer. If you look over the history of retail in this country, and I use retail as a great example for this because people get it and understand it quickly. When you think about Woolworths compete on price business, it's gone. C&A compete on price, it's gone. When you think about those legacy experience businesses, Harrods, Disney, Apple, you can just see that those businesses are going to be around for a long time. Now, I'm not saying that a compete on price business doesn't work. I'm just saying your customers are fickle. And that you just have to understand. You have to stack it high and sell it cheap. It's all about volume. And what I have a problem with small business owners are trying to make money out of volume is usually they cannot make it. And that's what I want to discuss today. Because if you start competing on price, you're into dealing with competition like Tesco's, Sainsbury's, and whoever it might be in your niche. When you think about Harrods, have far less competition. When I say to you, what's the best shop in London? Most people will say Harrods, and if they really think about it, they'll say Harvey Nicks, and then maybe Selfridges. They compete with less people. When you think about Rolex, they compete with less people, whereas all the Casios, they compete with all the other watch manufacturers. So that's the great news about building an experienced business. You have less competition, and you usually have legacy. But why do people not go through and build experienced businesses? Well, because it's harder. Let's get that out there. You know, if you want to start a business and you want to take market share by being cheaper, you're going to get market share quicker. If you go into business and want to be the dearest and the best, people are going to want to test you out. They're going to see those testimonials. They want to see establishment. They're going to want proof that you are the best. And that means you need to fund it. But let me really go through the experience life business, and we're going to talk about that business. We're not going to talk about the compete on price business and how it lasts. We're going to talk about the experience based business, where I believe SMEs should best operate to stay for the long term. So really, let's get into it. And here, let me give you some facts here on experience based businesses. Apple, the well-known technology company, which I've got an Apple iPhone in front of me and an Apple Mac in front of me where I'm making this. They started in 1976, but the iPhone wasn't launched until 2007. You know, how many years? You know, we're talking 30, 40 years, 50 years now to be the company that they are. You know, this is how long it takes for companies really to get established. And I see so many entrepreneurs and they go, no, you know, I've been in business 7 years and we're still not really making the money that we want to be. I've been in business 10 years and we're still not making the money that I want to make. I try and compare businesses to children. I'm like, well, you got a 10-year-old. You wouldn't leave a 10-year-old to just go out into the world on their own. You've been in business 13 years. Would you leave a 13-year-old just to go out into the world on their own? No. It's not until people are now 27, 28, 29, and the average first-time buyer's age in the UK is 37 years old now. Yeah, that is the reality of it, that it takes so long for a business to stand on its own two feet and be super strong, just like a human being. And once we get that into our minds, we can start building much stronger businesses around us. And this is all predictable, gang. This is all predictable, because here's the real harsh reality of it. 50% of businesses fail within the first 2 years. 80% of businesses are gone within the first 5 years. 94% of businesses are gone within 10 years. That's in the United Kingdom. That means only 6% of businesses are making it past their 10th anniversary. Horrific facts, and very true. Sad to tell you that, you know, that's just the way it is. How do we really, and this is what I want to get on this podcast, how do we map out protections against those things happening? Let's really map it out. I mean, here's another little fact for you. Disney started in 1923, but kicked off serious profits 30 years later. Rolex was founded in 1907, so it's like 112 years old as a company now. That's how long it takes for businesses to be that strong, you know, and I just want to really understand it. Right, here's the big thing to be a business that lasts longer and understanding the business life journey. Usually a business, 70% of businesses in the UK don't even pay VAT, so that means 70% of businesses are under the £85,000 turnover mark. So if you're paying VAT, you're in the top 30% of businesses. Them 70% of businesses are in the startup or the struggle phase. If you can get past 300,000 of revenue, up to 2 million of revenue, then you're in what we call the lifestyle, having a great business lifestyle, a boutique business, if you like. You've probably got 15 employees. You're making a couple of £100,000 worth of profit. Life is good. The problem is, if you have that entrepreneurial bug, you want to go to the next level. That's where we call the shit. That's what I call it, the shitpreneur. It's really a tough place to be. You're overtrading. You need the same money if you're a 20 million company. So you need the same management if you're a 20 million company, whether you're a £7 million company. You think when you get an FD into a business, whether you turn 100 million or 10 million, that FD doesn't go growing cost, you know. So you have all this economies of scale thing. And what happens here is usually people, when they get into that terrible phrase of phase of overtrading, they'll either return back down or they go up to the next level, which is the scale level. But most people don't make, you know, that's what I want to say here on this podcast. Most people don't make it to the next level, which is just such a horrifically sad thing, because people have the will, but they just don't have the cash flow around them to get through that business life journey. But if you're in the experience business, hey, why don't you just build a business up to 2.5 million of revenue, and you keep it steady, and then you pull the cash out and you invest it into property and investments. That's a smart thing to do. People don't have to go and do what we've done at Party Man, building this great big monster, because most people don't have the passion, resilience and tenacity. And like Steve Jobs said, most people don't do it because they're sane. Most people don't do it because they're sane. That's what he said. And I think that really is a powerful statement. You do have to have some insanity about you to grow a business beyond that 2.5 million revenue mark, because it's tough. It's very, very tough. The odds are stacked firmly against you. The odds are stacked firmly against you in this country more than ever, because of the rising costs of employment, the rising costs of taxes on turnover. VAT has never been higher in this country. Insurance premium tax wasn't around 10 years ago. Business rates are now higher than ever. And all of these factors are making it harder and harder to survive. But if you are in the experienced business sector, let's quickly discuss some of the ways that can get you through to a £2.5 million revenue turnover business that's pulling out a few £100,000 worth of profit. Still not easy to do, but possible to do. I mean, it's still possible to build a big business as well. Both of what we're discussing here goes on both sections. But let's find out stage one of building this business that lasts, that has legacy, and can fight the business life journey. Number one, you've got to have a vision, and you've got to share this vision continually. It cannot just be on the day that you start. The experienced business plans its vision from the outset, sharing with the world a story of the greatness it's about to unfold. This is powerful and promotes traction. It also attracts dream stoppers and mood hoovers who question the feasibility of the project. It's then your job to fight this with all your might. As with any business startup, you need to have resilience to fight those mood hoovers and those dream stoppers that are going to be around you. The experienced vision that states what it is, says what it is, and fights that vision and constantly shares that vision. Just like any great business, if you think of Steve Jobs, Walt Disney, constantly sharing this vision, therefore attracting great people to come and work for them, great talent to come and work for them that are going to fight for them to make that vision a reality. When it comes to the experienced business, what tends to happen is you're going to get price resistance because you want to be an experienced business, so you've got to have margin to make sure you're consistent with your delivery. Because the business that is consistent, i.e. McDonald's, constantly consistent, Coca-Cola, that drink, is always consistent, the Apple iPhone is always consistent. When you have consistency, you have a powerful brand and people want to continue to buy from you. And consistency is the key level. Now, without margin, it's very hard to be consistent, because if you haven't got margin, you're going to look to cut costs and then you tarnish your brand. So you're going to have price resistance if you're an experienced business with margin. Building margin into the price of product can result in people not wanting to do business with you because you're too expensive. To survive this stage in the experienced business, consistently deliver the best experience to the people who use your business. Be aware that it will take some time to win round a mass customer base. Now let me give you an example to this. Here at Marsh Farm, we have the second most expensive Christmas grotto in the country. Now, we went in on a higher price. Now, the first couple of years, people were very resistant to that price. Now, they don't know. They don't mind. They pay well in advance. They pay 10 months before we do the event. We will sell out, and we always sell out, but it's taken us a few years to get that. Now, I know that we're going to be a leading Christmas grotto event, even in 10 years' time, 15 years' time. When I'm dead, I'm hoping that they will carry on delivering this amazing experience. But we was prepared to wait a couple of years for that to happen, and we stood our ground. Now, it's fully booked. Just like when a new iPhone comes out, it's full. And that's really important. And you think of the early Apple products, people didn't want to buy from them because they were too expensive. Now people are happy to pay the increased price because they love and believe in that brand. And stage three, when you understand this experience, by now a few people are going to start to love you. And this is the power, because this is when testimonials start happening. Again, with the Apple products, if you think like the early adopters started loving it and became huge brand ambassadors and shared the world around. See, by now you'll have a number of advocates and some fans. They will advertise you via word of mouth and more customers will come. The risk now is leveraging your fan base too soon or without proper funding. So this is the big problem that most businesses have. Most businesses are underfunded. That's just the way it is. They haven't got enough funding around them. It's the job of the entrepreneur to get as much cash flow into the business by getting customers and make sure they're properly funded. That's why I think there's a, you know, I always say that the rules of success of business is E plus M equals S. So that's entrepreneurship plus management equals success. Two different types of DNA. I can see that really in reality, people that have been watching my stuff and they come to my seminars, the reality is it's E plus M plus F equals S. So it's entrepreneurship plus management plus a great finance function within the business. And I don't mean bookkeeping, accounting. I mean like a proper qualified accountant. It's one of the best investments that as soon as, I just wish that we had an FD come and work for us 5 years ago and found the money to do it rather than doing it now, because I think we would be double the size. That's probably a failure on my part, but it's never going to happen again. You know, even if we sold everything up one day, Aaron and I start a new business, I would make sure that we start on day one with an FD, even with zero turnover, because I think it makes a fundamental difference to the growth and aspirations of most businesses. Which brings me on to stage four, is understanding and managing cash burn through growth. And that's why having a great FD on site can really help you. So you start to grow. For example, maybe you go from owning one restaurant to owning two. Your quality is then compromised because you, the entrepreneur, and the management is diluted, but you still have a fairly good brand. Then the business starts to discount because it needs more cash flow. This is what happens in most businesses. They discount their brand to drive in cash flow. It's like a little drug, gives them a hype of cash flow, but then you have to bring your brand back round to the traditional methods. This puts out the fire in that situation, but as a result, fans drop down to advocates. Advocates become customers, and you're on the journey to commoditization. That's what we don't want to do. We do not want to commoditize when we build an experienced business. So stage four, if you do that because you need cash to survive, you need to go through to winning fans back. Three things can happen now. The business might shrink back to what it was originally. So this is usually when a business grows in the experienced business. They will either sort out their initial cash burn problem and they'll return back to safety, or they will go back to the next stage, or it might go bust after a period of flitting between price-led and experience-led, which is the way you damage your brand. And this is sadly what happens in most cases. Most people just don't carry on. The third thing that might happen is the business owner fights back and finds investments and cash to pursue their dream and scale an experienced business. This is difficult. Only 0.5% of startups manage it, but it is possible. And how is it possible? Making sure you build this fantastic, talented team around you. When a business survives like this, it gains fans and testimonials, and people love its good works, and something amazing starts to happen. Those who can't afford the price of the business's charges wish they could, and in many cases find a way to do so. Now, what do I mean by that? There's plenty of people that I know that cannot afford to go to Disney World, but they will get the money to go to Disney World, and they can't afford to go to it because they love the brand so much. And that's what happens with the experienced business. The next stage of this is the final recognition that you are the best. Either at scale or at lifestyle size, this stage puts you in the profit leagues. The business can reinvest and in itself, and also get customers fall more in love at every transaction. It's like a snowball of excellence when this starts to happen. At this stage, great people want to come and work for you, and that's the magic of it. You know, great people want to work for Disney. Great people want to work for, if you're the best watchmaker in the world, you want to work for Rolex. If you're into tech, you want to work for Apple or Microsoft. That's what really starts to happen. Stage six, forget shoppers. You now have predetermined customers ready to buy. That's what we have with our Father Christmas experience. We have people predetermined ready to buy. We don't spend any money on marketing because it fills up. We have people predetermined ready to buy. Stage seven is the scale and experience business. Now the business is right and ready stage to expand. Banks are willing to lend money, and in most cases, enough cash has been built up in the business and greatness can begin. With scale comes stage eight, which is opportunity. If you choose to, you can now leverage your brand assets either alone or with partners. Be careful whom you choose and how fast you diversify, though. Look for people aligned to your culture. You will even be able to become a commoditized business, which is fantastic. Who wouldn't want to be a commoditized business if you can do it with an experienced business? What does that mean? You'll be able to start selling standard stuff with a twist and price accordingly with a margin. So if you want to go and buy an ice cream in a supermarket, it costs you £1. If you want to buy an ice cream in Disney World, it's going to cost you £5. I've paid that because you are then buying commoditized stuff at a margin because of the experience business. For example, John Lewis opened Waitrose selling food with a higher margin than its rivals, but because people love the John Lewis brand, hey presto, they love Waitrose too. And that's the beauty of building an experienced business. And lastly, stage nine is legacy. And this is what I really love about the experienced business. Last but not least, the business gains a legacy and shoppers naturally become customers to do business with legacy. But people want to do businesses with legacy businesses, sorry. And legacy gives the business a higher valuation. Now that's just an amazing thing. What I want to really wrap that up, I've used some big hitters there, the Disneys, the Apples and the Rolex, but this is possible to do as a boutique SME business. You could be the best restaurant in your town. Don't set yourself on the journey to opening 10 restaurants and stressing yourself out if you haven't got the resilience and patience to do that. But you could build your amazing restaurant business, take cash out of it and build a property portfolio around it. I'm doing a property seminar. If you want to find out about that, please drop me a private message and I will show you exactly how you can do that. That is the right way round. People grow businesses, or they want to grow businesses too big without the right financial collateral behind them and without the right talented team behind them. That's how you're going to fail, gang. I've nearly caught many colds by not having enough cash around me as we've grown our business, and not by having all the talent, i.e. the left tenant clients around you. You cannot do this as a one-man army. And I teach all this stuff. If you haven't been to my Business Growth Seminar, it's absolutely free to go to. Check it out on my website, jamessinclair.net, and we will join you there. Thanks for listening to this podcast. I'm just going to say hello to the people on Facebook now. Thanks for listening. See you really soon. Bye-bye.